inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to In Your Backyard. My name is Teresa Watkins, and I am a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, and environmental consultant. I'm in your backyard. We're going to be talking about the lawn today, fertilizing. This is the month to do it, March. We're going to be talking about shamrocks. Don't you love shamrocks? Well, not really here in Florida, but we'll be talking a little bit about that. And then also, too, we're going to be answering your gardening questions. If you do have a question, you can give me a call, 787-9523, if you're in the garden area. You can also, if you're listening in the car or on the internet and you can't make the whole show and listen to it, you can hear it on podcast. I will be uploading it later on this afternoon on my website, www.she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com, or just Google Teresa Watkins in your backyard and my website should come up on it. Let me know if it doesn't. That would be a good thing. I am very excited about the Garden Walk Buffalo tour that I am taking a whole lot of gardeners from Florida up to Buffalo, New York, July 18th through the 21st. This is going to be an amazing trip. For those of you who know Buffalo, did you realize that they had the largest garden walk in the United States? Over 70,000 people come in 2 days. And this year is the 25th anniversary. So the 25th year of celebrating the largest garden walk in the United States. Last year they had between 400 and 500 homes open. This year they're going to have over 1,000 homes where you can walk through their yards, their landscapes, their gardens, and talk to them, you know, see wonderful plant combinations, colorful plants, different types of art, whimsy. It is an amazing tour. And I'm getting to take a lucky small group of people. We're not going to have a big group, but we're not going the weekend where 70,000 people are going. Okay, we're going to go before the landscapes are all trampled on, before we have to rub elbows with everybody, and I'm taking a very small group the weekend before, July 18th through the 21st. All the arrangements are being handled through the AAA office. If you would like more information, if you'd like to come, I only have a few more seats left, and I'm thinking by the end of March, they're all going to be full, and so we are staying at the Westin Hotel, which is going to be first class everything. It's just going to be wonderful. So if you would like to know more information, you can go on the website and click on Buffalo Tour, or you can email me at teresa.watkins@live.com. Also, this is a good time to remind everybody that I've started my newsletter too as well that's going to come out monthly. And if you would like to have an In Your Backyard newsletter, you can, again, go ahead and email me. You can Facebook me and you can see it on my In Your Backyard radio page, which is on Facebook, and you can sign up there or just send me an email and just say you'd like to subscribe. I promise you, I do not sell the addresses. I don't even look at the addresses. I just plug them in. And I don't sell them. I don't send you spam. I'm going to send you one newsletter a month, and you're welcome to share that or, you know, let other friends and family know about it. And in the newsletter, I'm going to tell you what to do in your yard, certain plants that I love, and also the issues for the season, whatever you should be doing that time of the year, and different horticultural aspects of, you know, living here in Florida and how to take care of your yard where it's sustainable, low maintenance, and low water use. That's the key. You know, when we come to Florida, we don't necessarily come down here to mow our lawns or to, you know, pull our weeds. And so you want a yard that is low maintenance, and you can have a beautiful, attractive lawn, you know, and garden with, you know, my tips and sustainability advice. So you can go ahead and email me, teresa.watkins@live.com, or go on my Facebook page, which is, I've got three. I've got Teresa Watkins FL. I have Sustainable Horticultural Environments, and I have In Your Backyard. So, connect with me on that. I'd like to give a big shout out to the Sweetwater Oaks Garden Club. I got to talk to them, and what a good group, such nice people. And I was telling them that I promised them a rose garden. And so we talked about roses yesterday. And I know that we have some Floridians and they're going to try roses. Roses do grow here well in Florida. So, I gave them some tips and advice. And I told them my favorites, the ones that I love and I love to plant. So big shout out to the Sweetwater Oaks Garden Club. If you love gardening, and you want to learn more, my suggestion is join a garden club or become a master gardener. And you can do that at your local county extension office. Connect with me on that. Now, shamrocks. Now, we don't necessarily grow shamrocks here in Florida. Shamrocks are part of the oxalis family, the clover family. And every St. Patrick's Day, people love to find a little green clover and put it on their lapel or their shawl, their sweater, and wear it. So the clover, the shamrock is only has three leaves. Okay, the three leaves, and that is not the lucky one. Remember, it's a four-leaf clover. That is lucky. And if you get my newsletter this month, it's March newsletter, you can look on the newsletter, and I've got two pictures of oxalis, and one of them does have a four-leaf clover on it, so you can look at that. So shamrocks and the four-leaf clover are both clovers, but they differ in the number of leaves and the associated meanings of them. So the shamrock is a Trifolium repens is a scientific name, and it means three leaves. And the four-leaf variety is a mutation or a rare variation of it. So they're much harder to find, which is why they become so lucky. So shamrocks are lucky, but the four-leaf clovers are even luckier. So you can find one four-leaf clover in a patch of 10,000 normal three-leaf clovers. So that's a lot of looking. So if you want one for St. Patrick's Day, I think you need to start looking now. So they are beautiful. The four-leaf clover is wonderful for bees pollinating. They love the clover. And comes from the Irish word shamrog, S-E-A-M-R-O-G, all one word, shamrog. And this word is translated to mean summer plant, which makes sense because clover grows prolifically in the summertime, right? And you see bees all over it. But the name also comes from the Gaelic word to mean little clover. So it is a wonderful little plant. I love it. Do you know that if you plant clover, you can use it as your dog's potty area? Because clover takes urine very well. And so it's something that if your grass is dying in some areas, you may just want to get some clover seed and plant some clover and try that. You'll benefit the bees. The dogs will like it. And you can just mow it, and it's really easy to take care of. So why is St. Patrick associated with shamrock? Well, St. Patrick traveled to Ireland in the 5th century, and he began preaching the word of God. And so he was traditionally spread by the word of mouth, and he is said to have used the shamrock and its distinctive three leaves to teach the people all about the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so three in religion and in faith and philosophies is a really big number, okay? And it's just a very popular. We have a lot of threes in gardening. There is the three different types of pH, acidic, neutral, and alkaline. And then there's the three different types of soils, xeric, mesic, and hydric. Can you think of any other threes in the gardening world? Stay tuned. You're listening to In Your Backyard. We're going to be right back after a word from our sponsors here on Real Country AM 790 WLBE.
Inch by inch, row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sow. Someone warmed them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
Hi, this is Teresa Watkins, host of In Your Backyard Gardening Show, heard Tuesdays at 12 p.m. on My 790 AM. When I need gardening supplies, I stop by Simon Seeds in Leesburg. Simon Seeds Nursery has everything you need to make your yard beautiful and the garden productive, from seeds and plants to organic products and Sunnyland fertilizers. Blondine can help you grow your plants like a pro. Make your landscape the envy of your neighborhood. Visit Simon Seeds at 105 West Magnolia in downtown Leesburg, or call Blondine at 787-4415 and be on the way to the yard you've always dreamed of. Sunnyland Professional and All Natural Fertilizers is what Florida lawns and gardens require to keep them healthy, green, and growing. For over a century, Sunnyland has been your hometown team, making fertilizers in Florida specifically for our sandy soil conditions. You can purchase Sunnyland products, Right Green, Professional, and All Natural Fertilizers at Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart. When you're looking for fertilizer for your lawn and garden, put your trust in Sunnyland. Sunnyland, keeping Florida green since 1884. Teresa Watkins, In Your Backyard. We're back. And, you know, St. Patrick was, that wasn't his real name. His name was Maywind Sakat. And when he became a priest, he took on the name of St. Patrick. So that's where he became famous. Now, shamrocks were also important to the Druids. Again, their three-leaf association was with the maiden, the mother, and the crone. And they thought that the three-leaf clover was actually a lucky charm to ward off any evil spirits. And they thought that it was important to always carry one. Now, it's not always been a good symbol. When the rebellion started in Ireland in the early 1900s, the shamrock became the symbol of the rebellion of the Irish people against the English. And as a symbol of rebellion, they openly displayed their three-leaf clover on their clothing, but it was made illegal and punishable by death. So that was kind of, bummer. And shamrocks are still used in weddings today, and they will grow here in Florida. So if you'd like to have your own shamrock, I have posted a link on my newsletter that shows where you can get some seed for clover, and then also for the oxalis that you can grow here. And they've got a beautiful one, the purpurea, oxalis purpurea, that is deep, dark purple. And it is just gorgeous. It has white flowers, and it is just a very attractive. I kind of use it in my woodland forest designs. It looks like you're walking through a, you know, the dark forest that with the old trees, and down at the bottom you see the clover, the little oxalis growing, and it's really a very attractive plant for sun or shade. And the purpurea one is not the weedy one that just grows all over. And I see it in yards right now. It's just very prolific. Do you know those seeds can pop up to 30 feet away? So shamrock is popular right now. You can get one. Publix probably has them in their produce section and their floral section. And you can probably go into most floral design shops and pick up some four-leaf clovers for your desk or for, you know, taking to someone in the hospital or nursing home. It'd be kind of a cute and conversation starter. So grow your own shamrocks and, you know, kind of think outside the box and grow your own purple one. 787-9523 if you're in the garden area. We can talk about what's going on in your backyard. This week, the rain is coming. Okay, we're possibly getting a chance of rain, 20% chance here in Central Florida. That means 20% of the area is going to get rain. Are you going to be in that area? I don't know. All right, so we anticipate some rain, but not a lot. But the temperatures are going to be in the 80s. And then starting Saturday, we're going to have a 40% chance of rain. 30% on Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, and then another 30% on Monday. So this weekend, more than likely, you will get some rain. Now, we've moved the daylight savings time, right? We fell back an hour and we're springing it. Oh, no, we didn't fall back an hour. We sprung ahead. Thank you. We sprung ahead twice a week watering. Now, does that mean you have to water twice a week? No. Okay, if your landscape is getting by on once a week watering, that's all it needs. All right, don't make it more dependent on the water by upping your times of the week that you're watering. Go ahead, take advantage of the rain, keep it at once a week watering, and your water bill is going to be lower. Your landscape is going to be healthier. You're going to get less disease issues, less fungal issues. Your root systems are going to go deeper, and that is going to mean a healthier landscape. Now, some of the reasons to water more often. If you fertilize, read the label, and the label will tell you if you need to turn the sprinkler system on. Never fertilize before a rainstorm, okay? When you are turning on your own irrigation sprinkler, you can adjust the water and turn it off. When we get the downpours or the first 15 minutes of the rain coming down, it's coming down so fast that it can wash the fertilizer off. And that's what we call stormwater non-source pollution, all right? And it goes down into the drains and into our lakes. So you waste your fertilizer, you waste your time putting the fertilizer down, and your plants don't get the benefit of the fertilizer. So you always fertilize after a rainstorm. After a rainstorm, and then follow the instructions on the label. If the label tells you to water it in, then you can turn on the irrigation system for the amount of time that it tells you to water it in for, okay? And so that's how we do it. So we're going to get rain possibly today, but the temperatures are going to be fine. We're not going to get rain until Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. 60s at night, 80s during the day. Who could ask for anything more? My cousin Eileen and Joe are down from Canada, and they are in Cocoa Beach enjoying the beautiful weather. And so she, I just know, has her toes in the sand, and she couldn't ask. And I'll tell you, she is, if she's listening, she's saying, Teresa, no, it can't rain while we're here. And so all our visitors, you know, that the tourists from all over the world that come here in the wintertime, you know, they're going to probably say, we don't want it to rain. But rain is good. We need the rain. We don't want to have to use our sprinkler systems. All right. So what should you be doing this month in your landscape? This is the month, again, to fertilize. Sunnyland has a new line of fertilizers. They're professional and all natural fertilizers. You want to look for those in Lowe's, Home Depot, Ace Hardware, Rural King, Walmart, Simon Seeds Nursery, Lucas Nursery. You want to look for those fertilizers. If you don't see them, ask for them, okay? That's important. Sunnyland is a local fertilizer company. They're the largest fertilizer company in the United States, and not largest, oldest fertilizer company in the United States. There you go. And oldest fertilizer company in the United States. And they are a good product. I always recommend buying local, support local, and that's important. This is the time of the year that you want to be planting vegetables, beans, calabaza, cantaloupes, cassavas, chayotes, corn, cucumbers. We've got a lot of cucumbers growing. Tony's been very good about making sure that we have them watered and fertilized. He's doing a great job. Dasheen, eggplant, Jerusalem artichoke, yakamas, luffas, malangas, New Zealand spinach, okra. I love okra. If you have not had okra, fried okra for breakfast with eggs and bacon, that is the best breakfast. But okra is also a beautiful flower. And so you can plant it in your garden beds and then just harvest it right from your own landscape. So okra is wonderful to plant right now, and it will take the heat of the summertime and grow all the way through September. So it's a great plant. Peppers growing well. Pumpkins, if you would like to have a pumpkin for Halloween, now is the time to plant them. Burpee.com has wonderful assortment of pumpkins and pumpkin seeds. So go ahead and go to the burpee.com website and look at their selection of seeds for pumpkins and order it now and then get them in the ground this month. Southern peas, squash, I love squash, tamarillos and tomatoes and watermelon. Again, this is the time of the year to get it in the ground. You still have time, you can do that. Now, the herbs that we need to be planting, herbs right now, they can take the heat. They can take full sunlight. You can even put them in the shade. They will be fine here in Florida in the shade. They get enough sunlight. Basil, bay laurel, which is a woody ornamental. It does become a tree. Borage, cardamom. Cardamom is a great tropical herb that looks wonderful in your tropical landscape. And it's very easy to harvest. So, and it does spread a little bit, kind of like ginger spreading. So you can use it and still have plenty left in your yard. Chervil, chives, coriander, dill, fennel. We're already starting to see little caterpillars on our dill. Ginger, lemon balm, sweet marjoram, Mexican tarragon, mint. Mint makes a great ground cover. You're trying to reduce the amount of mowing you have to do. Put some patches of mint in between stepping stones too as well. You can walk on them and crush it, and you'll smell their flavor. Just amazing. And then also too, oregano, rosemary, sage, thyme, and watercress. Okay, so those are the herbs that you could be planting. Bulbs are very easy to grow here in Florida, and we have so many wonderful ones. There is African iris, African lilies, amaryllis, blood lilies, bulbine, caladiums. Now, if you planted caladiums last year and you thought they all died on you, just wait. They're going to start popping up again. They do go dormant in the wintertime, and they are starting to pop up now and grow. So caladiums will come back. If you'd love to have caladiums, they're a really easy border plant. They can be grown in shade. Some varieties can be grown in full sun, and they are a good choice for easy gardening, low maintenance. Canna lilies. Cannas are wonderful. You can get them in burgundy leaves. You can get them in striped variegated leaves, green and yellow. And then also the colors are just amazing. Red, yellow, peach colored. Then you got the pink color. Just very pretty. Crinum lilies are doing very good. Crinums can take moisture. For those of you looking to put plants on a lakefront, lakeshore, crinum lilies are a good choice. They will take full sun, and they can take the moisture of the lakefront. In fact, they thrive on it. That milk and wine is the one that I love the best. It has a burgundy and white striped flower that is gorgeous, and they make great cutting plants. Crocosmia is delightful. It reminds me of a combination of salvia and firecracker. So the branches are, they come out about 3 feet, and they come in colors of orange, yellow, and a red, and they are just gorgeous. They look like a northern flower. So those of you who love northern type of look of gardens, those crocosmia is a good choice. And they do very well, no pest problems or disease issues. And then also you could be planting dahlias right now. Dahlias are an annual. You can get them, but they can be planted right now. Daylilies. Daylilies are a great choice. They can grow in full sun, full shade, and they don't get a lot of pest problems. They do have some issues with rust and fungus if they're not watered correctly, but other than that, they're a very low maintenance plant. Butterflies love them. Eucharis lily has a wonderful fragrance, beautiful white flower. I think it's very apropos for this time of the year, Lent and Easter. It's a great choice. Gingers, all sorts of gingers, pineapple gingers, the variegated ginger, just wonderful. Gladiolus are a good choice. And if you like gladiolus and you want to plant them in the garden, what I suggest is go ahead and you plant like 20 at a time, then plant another 20, and then plant another 20. And what you'll do is you'll have a staggered flowering area. Now, that's for a big yard. If you only want to plant 5 to 10, you can do that. Just stagger them, and your blooms will be all summer long. You can also do that with sunflowers, too, as well. Stagger the plantings so that your sunflowers are blooming all the way through the fall. There's also the tropical gloriosa lily, which I love, Louisiana irises, rain lilies, tuberose, and walking irises. So many plants to plant here in tropical Florida that you can grow them. If you're outside the state, you've still got cool weather, start them from bulbs or seeds and grow them in containers up north. Stay tuned. You're listening to Teresa Watkins here in your backyard on Real Country AM 790 WLBE. From below till the rain comes tumbling down. And we're back with more of In Your Backyard. You know, this is the month. Green is the color this month. I had someone ask that their zoysia grass is still brown and they think it's dead. And the grass has been in for almost 7 months. So I know it's not dead. It's just having a little bit of time recovering from the winter. It does grow slowly. So just hang in there. As the temperatures warm up and we get more rain, the zoysia grass is going to come back and it's going to be just fine. Now, what is in our fertilizers? And I want everyone to understand that when we fertilize our plants, we have to have a purpose for it. You should always get a soil test before you fertilize, you know, your entire landscape. That way you know what kind of conditions you're working with. And you can get that soil analysis from your extension office. They will send it away, soil samples away to the university, and it will come back with recommendations for your yard. That is always the best recommendation. You want to know what you're working with before you fertilize. But now fertilizer itself, we talk about feeding our plants, but do the plants actually eat fertilizer? Okay, so that's kind of interesting, right? We feed our plants, but you know, they don't eat the fertilizer. I equate fertilizer with vitamins, and we don't eat vitamins. We take vitamins to supplement our diet, especially when we don't get the proper nutrition. So we want to make sure that we know why we're putting the fertilizer down. All right. Now, so on the bag of fertilizer, we have the three numbers on the bag of fertilizer. And that very first number is nitrogen. Now, it's the first number because it's the most important nutritional element that the plants need. All plants all over the world need nitrogen. And nitrogen helps stimulate leaf production. It also allows the plant to make chlorophyll. It's very important. It's also the easiest to absorb nitrogen, but it's also very easy to leach. And so you want to make sure that you're only putting down what you need to. All right. Using a slow release fertilizer like Sunnylands Professional and all natural fertilizers is what's recommended. Slow release. Because when we take vitamins, we don't necessarily know when our body needs the boron, the manganese, the phosphorus. We don't know when our body needs calcium. We just know that when we take the one a day vitamin, that it's going to be there when our body needs it. Well, it's the same way with slow release fertilizers. It's going to be there when the plants need it by being released slowly. Now, the second number, well, let me go back to nitrogen. That let's just take a bag of 666. That 6% on the bag means 6% of that bag is nitrogen. It doesn't matter if it's a 5-pound bag, a 20-pound bag, or a 40-pound bag. 6% of that bag is nitrogen. The next number, the middle number, is phosphorus. Now, phosphorus helps plants produce flowers. You need flowers to have fruit. It also stimulates root production. And so that's a good thing. Now, that 6 on the bag means 6% of the bag is phosphorus. All right? Now, do we need phosphorus? Well, the state of Florida is the fourth largest producer of phosphorus in the world. Okay, we send our phosphorus all over the country and all over the world. And so we don't necessarily need to put down phosphorus as a regular basis. It is also a source of source of water pollution too as well. So we don't want to put it down unless we need to. Now, it encourages flowers and fruits. Does grass have flowers and fruit? No. So the grass doesn't need phosphorus. Yes, it has roots, and it's going to be, and we need to stimulate those roots. But there's enough phosphorus in our soils, usually, or generally, then we don't need to put it down. All right. So that's another reason why your soil analysis is important. The last number is potassium. Now, potassium helps plants metabolize carbohydrates. It helps the photosynthesis process, and it also creates thicker cell walls. Potassium helps the plants handle stress, and it's stressful living here in Florida. All right. So during the summertime and fall, temperatures are, you know, in the 90s, mid 90s to high 90s, and we have a lot of rainfall. Plants are growing 24/7. All right. That's stressful. Okay. When they have to work so hard. But in the wintertime, it can be 80 degrees one day and 40 degrees the next day, even freezing the next day. All right. And so that's stressful too. Plants don't know if they're coming or going. So they need to have thicker cell walls. And potassium does that. It does it for us as humans. All right. So in our vitamins, potassium helps us create thicker cell walls and helps us handle stress. So 6% nitrogen, 6% phosphorus, 6% potassium. I went to Tavares High School. I know that's 18%. What is the other 82% of the bag? Okay. You're paying for 82% of inert ingredients. You're paying for filler, you're paying for sand, you're only getting that 18% fertilizer. But why do we recommend that, or you see it used a lot? Because that 666 isn't going to hurt anything. So you're going to want to be careful when you're using quick-release fertilizers and fertilizers that are like 20-20-20. That's a liquid fertilizer, 20-20-20. That's 60% fertilizer. You're going to burn something, even kill something if you use it. So you want to be careful with the analysis. Find out how much it has. Look at the bag. Follow the instructions. Now, is nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium the only thing plants need? No. We need calcium. They need calcium. Now, here in Florida, we have a lot of seashells and calcium in our soils already from those seashells. So you're not necessarily going to find calcium in Florida fertilizers, okay, because we don't need it. But if you're living in another part of the country, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Ohio, Pennsylvania, you're going to need that calcium. So look for it on your label. But calcium provides a way for the plant to get and retain minor elements. It also counteracts alkali salts. Now, here's what I find fascinating. On the beach and the seawater, we find seashells that have calcium in them that counteracts the alkali salts. That's pretty cool that Mother Nature provides that for us. So then we have also magnesium that plants need. It's essential for photosynthesis, and it activates plant enzymes needed for growth. And then also iron. Iron is for photosynthesis. It greens plants up without telling them to grow. So during the summertime, we can't put down nitrogen in most Florida cities because of the fertilizer ban. But you can put down iron, and iron will tell the plant to green up without telling it to grow. The more nitrogen you put down, the more susceptible your lawns can be to chinch bugs. Okay, because it stresses them out if you put too much. So we recommend fertilizing in the springtime, February, March, and then also in the fall, September and October. You want to put fertilizer down 3 months before a stressful period. And our stressful period starts June and July, and then also January and February. So you want to make sure that you're fertilizing in the springtime and in the fall. And then if you need to green up during the summertime, you can use iron. In fact, you can use iron during the year as needed. Now, is that everything the plant needs? No, there's also micronutrients. Those were macronutrients. And when I say macronutrients, the nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, calcium, magnesium, and sulfur are the macronutrients. Okay, now magnesium sulfur is Epsom salts. Okay, that's what Epsom salts is made out of. If you put Epsom salts down on your plant, are you giving the plant everything it needs? No. We do not recommend putting down Epsom salts as a fertilizer, okay? Plants need a nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. They need all of the nutrients, not just manganese and sulfur. The micronutrients, well, I'm going to talk about those in the next segment. Stay tuned. You're listening to Teresa Watkins, Real Country AM 790 WLBE in your backyard.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
Hi, this is Teresa Watkins, host of In Your Backyard Gardening Show, heard Tuesdays at 12 p.m. on My 790 AM. When I need gardening supplies, I stop by Simon Seeds in Leesburg. Simon Seeds Nursery has everything you need to make your yard beautiful and the garden productive, from seeds and plants to organic products and Sunnyland fertilizers. Blondine can help you grow your plants like a pro. Make your landscape the envy of your neighborhood. Visit Simon Seeds at 105 West Magnolia in downtown Leesburg, or call Blondine at 787-4415 and be on the way to the yard you've always dreamed of. Sunnyland Professional and All-Natural Fertilizers is what Florida lawns and gardens require to keep them healthy, green, and growing. For over a century, Sunnyland has been your hometown team, making fertilizers in Florida specifically for our sandy soil conditions. You can purchase Sunnyland products, Right Green, Professional, and All-Natural Fertilizers at Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart. When you're looking for fertilizer for your lawn and garden, put your trust in Sunnyland. Sunnyland, keeping Florida green since 1884. And we're back with more of In Your Backyard. Teresa Watkins here. If you would like to go on my Garden Walk Buffalo tour, you can check out my webpage, www.she-consulting.com. We've got a few more spaces left. It's going to be full probably by the end of March. I would love you to go. We're going to have a really great time. We're going to geek out. It's going to be plant nirvana for us. It's just going to be a wonderful trip. Then also, too, if you'd like to subscribe to my monthly newsletter, it is free, and you can go onto my webpage and do that as well, and it will come to you. No spam, no selling of addresses. It's all safe, and you will get what you need to do in your yard every month. Now, we're talking about macronutrients and micronutrients, fertilizers. These are the essential elements. Macronutrients are needed less frequently and in smaller quantities. Nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium are the macronutrients. Some calcium, magnesium, and sulfur are also macronutrients, but they're needed in less frequently and in smaller quantities. Micronutrients are needed even smaller amounts, micro amounts, but they're just as essential. That's the iron, manganese, zinc, copper, chlorine, molybdenum, boron. They are just as important. Now, fertilizers, you want to buy complete ratios. Okay, 3-1-0-1 or 4-0-2. Okay, so you were taking the phosphorus out, 4-0-2, 3-0-2. 3 or 1-0-1, and those are going to be the essential qualities. Now, for flowers that are blooming, you want to make sure that you are getting some phosphorus. Get a soil test first. That's the important part. You want to make sure you're buying nutrients, not just fertilizer labels, all right? Most established trees and plants do not need routine fertilizing. If the plant, shrub, or tree is older than seven years, it is evergreen, it does not have flowers or fruit, and it looks healthy, it's growing well, blooming wonderfully, then you don't need to fertilize. So if the plant is younger than 7 years, if it is deciduous, all right, if the shrub or tree is deciduous, if it has flowers or fruit, and it doesn't look good, it's getting insect issues, it's getting disease issues, then you want to fertilize on a consistent basis. Over-fertilizing, follow the label. It's so important. More is not better, okay? You want to fertilize after a rainstorm, not before it. And then when you do, follow the label. The label is the law, okay? So if you bought a bag that's too big for you, then share with your neighbors or make sure it's airtight and seal it and use it again in the fall, all right? Because excess fertilizers are major contaminants of our aquifer. So, and our lakes, that's what causes the algae blooms for during the middle of the summertime to be even more. When I go through HOAs and the lakes are solid green all the way across in the middle of the summertime. And even if you fly out of Orlando this summer, look at the different communities you're flying over and look at the lakes. Most of the time, they're going to be a solid green covering. And that just means that that community is using too much fertilizer or they're improperly fertilizing, and the fertilizer is leaching into the lake or the stormwater retention pond. That's not a good thing. Homeowners are the first line of defense against non-source water pollution. And non-source water pollution is the pollution that we can't tell exactly where it comes from. We can't identify the source. But most of the time, it is from homeowners' yards. And so it's very important that you're responsible with it. And you're responsible for putting it down properly. Make sure your landscaper understands the importance of using a slow-release fertilizer, and that they are applying it correctly. That's very important. If you want to send your soil samples to the university, you can bring it to the Master Gardener Clinics here in the state of Florida, and they will send it away. It is about $16, $20, okay? But it's so worth it to know what is already in your soil so that you can fertilize correctly. That is very important. 787-9523 if you're in the garden area. We could talk about what's going on in your backyard. Let's see where I'm going to go here next. I want to talk about deciduous trees. This is the time of the year you can be putting down deciduous trees very nicely. Apples, peaches, nectarines, all right? We can get low-chill cultivars to do well here in Florida, and that they taste delicious, okay? You can get delicious peaches and nectarines. You can also grow avocados and then also fig trees and plum trees. So many different types of plums that you can grow. Now, do you need to have a tree in your yard? No. What I like to do with deciduous fruits is I like to create neighbor fences out of them. To put up an espalier between houses or up against your fence area and grow your deciduous fruit on three or four rows, make an espalier, and then wire your trees to that espalier and grow them directly on the fence. And they're only going to come out about a foot, and yet you'll still get lots of fruit off of it. Needs to be in full sun, and it needs to be wired, and then you're going to have to prune it so that the stems are not pushing out, that they're going to be wired up against the wires of the espalier, and then you just clip it after it finishes, after you pull the fruit off, okay? Then you trim it back to where it can go deciduous, and it's all bare limbed in the winter time. All right. And that's plums you can do. You can do Flatwoods plums. You can do Chickasaw plums. You can do peaches that way and plum trees that way. And they are delicious. And they do really well here in Florida. And it's so cool to see the fruit growing on the fence and not taking up much room in your garden. Now, how do you water them? I would probably use low-volume emitters, okay? And instead of drip, I'm not a big fan of drip irrigation. I like the low-volume emitters of Mr. Landscaper, which you can get in the DIY stores, the box stores, and very easy to put up. It puts the water directly on the roots where it's supposed to go. Having your irrigation system with pop-up heads that come up 3 feet over the top of shrubs is not an efficient way to water, and it it contributes to disease issues, fungal issues, and then also poor air circulation also with that. So you want to make sure that you're watering correctly. I like the low volume irrigation emitters. That way you can see if it's working or not. You can test it once a month. In fact, we should all be testing our irrigation systems once a month. Turn them on. Make sure we're not watering the asphalt, the road, or the neighbor's house. And, you know, why pay for water if it's sprinkling your neighbor's yard, right? I mean, I'm all about, you know, being a good neighbor, but watering their yard is not up there with the golden rule, all right? So you want to make sure your water stays on your property. Check it once a month. Check it before you go back up north if you're a seasonal resident. Make sure it's working correctly. And then always have a neighbor that will look in on it for you and see if your system, your timers are working. Make sure that your grass gets watered, or that sometimes if you're getting landscape maintenance while you're away, they could hit the head and it could turn it. And then one part of your yard is going to die because it's not going to get water, and the road is going to get wet. You're going to hit the cars going by. So have a designated person come by once a month while you're away and check your irrigation sprinkler systems. That's so important. Next month is water efficiency month, so you'll hear me talking a lot about that. Other things you could be doing in your yard right now? Well, besides growing lots of vegetables, the tomatoes and peppers are going crazy. This is also a good time to walk your yard, have a certified arborist come through and see if you need to prune any trees before hurricane season. So before hurricane season, the cost of it is much less. Once we hit hurricane season, everybody starts to panic, especially if we have hurricanes, you know, in the vicinity and they need to get their trees cut. The cost is much more and it just takes a lot longer to do it. So doing it now is going to save you money. It's going to save you worry. You're going to be prepared for the hurricane season. So over the next 2 months, get your trees assessed and make sure that you use a certified arborist. How do you do that? You can go onto the International Society of Arborists, the ISA webpage, or just Google Certified Arborist Florida, and that state website should come up, and then look through there and find someone in your local area. The International Society of Arborists, ISA.org, ISA.org, and it will be a really smart thing to do. Also, too, this is, you know, again, pruning your ornamentals if you have not cut back your ornamental grasses. If you have not cut back your banana trees that have died from the cold, go ahead. Let, you know, that branch, it will eventually pop out again, but you're not going to see it for a little while. Go ahead and cut it back. Stimulate that that growth portion, that growth pattern, and let the branches come out. Also, too, the amaryllis are blooming like gorgeous. I have about 35 of them blooming in my yard right now. Amaryllis make great cut flowers. If you see amaryllis blooming in someone's yard and they're your neighbor, friend, you can ask them to, you know, give you a couple of bulbs. If not, you can buy some at your local nursery. Simon Seeds, I know, has probably some bulbs for you. And you can go ahead. Appenberries, I don't know if they have bulbs, but they have beautiful plants in Orlando, Edgewater, and then Lucas Nursery too as well. You can go there and then find out what you would like to get, and you can have them order it for you. Simon Seeds Blondine will bring any plants in for you, and they'll be nice and healthy for you at Simon Seeds Nursery. The number to call her is 787-4415, and she has all the fertilizers, Sunnyland products there, and also everything you need for spring to get going there. So you can go ahead for that. Now, your poinsettias, if you have not cut those back, you can cut them back to 12 to 18 inches. Also, do not cut your azaleas back if they have not bloomed, but if they've already gone through the bloom and they're looking, the blooms have already dropped off your tree, the shrub, go ahead and prune those back. You can prune them back by a third if they're really very tall. Prune them back by a third, but wait until the blooms have passed. They have dropped, all right? You can catch us here every Tuesday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you missed the show, you can go onto my website, www.she-consulting.com, and you can listen to the podcast, and you can listen to all the back shows that you missed. I've got great interviews on there from Kylie Balmley. Chris Van Cleve, also to, Carol Michael with The Christmas Rabbit and Sawed and Seeded. She's got a new book coming out. Hope to talk to her soon. We're going to be having Jan Johnson, Gardentopia. It's a brand new bestseller that's out. Hopefully she's going to be in our area at the end of the month, and I'm going to have her on the show. Remember, water's not only your right, it's your responsibility. Take care, everybody. See you next week. Someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from...